Sermons, and I've really been enjoying studying about Gideon. I had been preparing myself to continue to teach about Gideon and how essential Gideon's life, how we can take the attributes and characteristics that he displayed, how we can take and apply it to our life. But the Lord, we're going to put that on the back burner for right now, because the Lord just, he pressed it on my heart to go down a different path this morning. So at this time, I ask you to be praying for me, that God get all the glory, because that's what it's all about. We give honor to God for all things, not something, but we thank God for everything that he has done in our life. And I went to, and I was thinking about, the other day I was listening to a song, and a song, and you know, songs, a lot of times it does something to you. When you listen to the words of a song, sometimes they can trigger something on the inside of you. Well, on this particular day, I was listening to a song, and it brought back some of my memories of my past life before I got saved. Because like many of you, well, not many, all of you, I have not always been saved. So as I sat there and I was listening to the song, I then got away from the song and I just started reminiscing on my past life. I went to thinking about how when I was in sin and when I was in the world, about all the things and all the dysfunctional things that I used to do. I went to thinking about, you know, at first I just kind of skimmed the surface of everything. You know, I started thinking about, okay, I used to smoke, and then I used to drink. I used to run women, and I used to club. And many times when we talk about, many times me so much, I don't give my testimony. But, you know, when I start talking to people at work, they look at me like I've always been saved. Y'all understand? Like they say to me all the time, no, I don't see you smoking and drinking and doing all these things. They can't see me because they see the life that I live. But we have to explain to people, a lot of times you have to revisit your past. And you have to let people know that I have not always walked this walk. I have not always been a disciple of Christ. I have not always been a follower. So I was sitting at first, and I was, as I reminisced, I was kind of, like I said, skimming the surface of the sins that I used to do, you know, the smoking and drinking and so on and so forth, the drugs, all of the illegal stuff that I was into, the preacher kid. But then as I began to think and just go deeper into it, I started reminiscing about this darkness. Because there was a darkness that I used to always feel when I was in sin. And a lot of times when I was in that darkness, I embraced it. I embraced that dark side of me. And I can't really explain it, because there was the evil within me, it was taking over everything that I had learned. And let me tell you, it had got to the point. Let me try to explain to you how far it was had gotten. Now, I just told you about all the sins that I used to do. But then it started getting to the point, the more I embraced the darkness, the deeper I became immersed in it. I was immersed in that darkness. So now it was this growing thing on the inside of me where I wanted to go further than I was already doing. I got to the point, I had made up in my mind, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I had made up my mind, the tattoos I was going to get the tattoo coming all down my arm. This is all the stuff. Not, see, one thing about when you in sin, you just not going to stay there. And what I mean is, it's going to get deeper and deeper, and it's going to grow more and more, because that's why, you know, you might start with a little lie. You know, they call it a little white lie. But then you can start telling a real lie. Now, that's why you become a liar, because that's how sin is like that. You don't just stay in one place. So as I began to embrace that darkness, and I was in that darkness, I would embrace it. I thought about, okay, I'm going to get these tattoos on me. And I'm going to tell it anyway. I had a woman, she come tell me, she said, you should get some gold teeth. The front, the outline. I was going to get the outline. And I had already had in my mind, I'm going to get the fame, like Sister Marlena said. I said, I'm going to get the fame, because I used to love that. I'm going to get the fame. Y'all see where I'm going in? This is a preacher's son. I'm going to get the tattoos. And I done made up my mind, I'm going to get the fame. I had already got my ears pierced. I was already wearing the big chain stuff, so I was moving past that. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something. And I think I told a few of y'all one time before, and it's not to say nothing bad, but I had got to the point where I was like, I guess I had kind of embraced that golf, y'all know what that is, with that golf mentality where you're dressing all black. So I got to where I was dressing all black because I was embracing that darkness. And when I was embracing that darkness, I used to paint my fingernails black sometimes. You know, I had got to that point, y'all. I know some of y'all, it's hard to imagine that, right? But see, that's what I was doing. I was growing. I was embracing that darkness. I would go, and people would see me, and they'd be like, but that's what I wanted. I wanted you to know that, first of all, I ain't nothing to play with. Because I had got to that point. I'm telling y'all, I was out there. I had got to the point where I was, I'm going to tell you, I'm not that guy. You might better go, so don't try me. And that's what I wanted people to know. So I embraced that darkness. And the more I embraced it, I gravitated to it. And the more I gravitated, the more I submerged myself into it. And the deeper and deeper I got, I wanted to do more and more. I couldn't just stop with the music. I couldn't just stop with the drinking. I had to go more and more. I was painting my nails. Like I said, all this stuff. I had visualized myself becoming more, deeper into sin. But then I told a testimony, like, I would get in my car at times in Millersville, and I would just drive and drive and drive because there was always something I was searching for. Because I reached the point, even though I had got to the point, I was embracing that darkness. But within that darkness comes despair.
Right.
It started becoming despair. I started feeling, okay, now I'm in a world of me's and bees of people, but I'm all alone. I'm dealing with loneliness. I could be hanging out with all my friends, but at the same time, I'm still feeling lonely. See, the darkness was starting to consume me. There was an emptiness on the inside of me. And at first, when I embraced it, now I can't handle it. I can't handle it anymore. Because now I'm at a point I had never thought I would be. I had gone too far a point. Nobody could have told me 5-6 years prior to that, I'd be painting my fingernails black, and I ain't worried about no funny business. But it was just that I was just that darkness that was within me. So as I was sitting there listening to the song, listening to the song, then I started reminiscing about my past and that darkness. Because me, sometimes I go back there to see how blessed I am.
Amen.
I go back to that darkness, and I'm not talking about go back to it, the dwelling, but I go back to this, go back to compare and contrast my life then and my life now. So as I got to that point, I was sitting there, I'm thinking about the darkness and the tears that come to my eyes, but I'm a crybaby. So I'm thinking about the darkness, and my mind went back to this movie I had watched. And I know many of you watched this movie called Get Out.
Yeah.
Get Out. So that's the title of the sermon.
Get Out.
So when I went back and I thought about that movie, Get Out, there was a particular scene in there that I'm going to reverse engineer it, and I'm going to apply it spiritually. Okay, remember the guy, not the premise of the movie, but just at this point, when he was sitting there talking to that lady, and she was hypnotizing. Remember, he had a problem with smoking.
Right.
He had a problem with smoking. And she wanted him to stop smoking. But as the longer he began to sit there and he was thinking about what was going on, he was the problem wasn't the smoking then. He got to looking at the deeper things that had happened in his life.
Right.
See, just like me, I had skimmed the surface.
Right.
But once you be real with yourself, you'll start seeing, hey, I got some deeper stuff on the inside of me other than just this smoking. So he was there, she had his, and he was so captivated. And he was sitting there, and he was mesmerized. And she was steady talking to him, and he was reminiscing. Now, I don't want to make it about her. But he was feeling all that pain, the situation that he had gone through, and that darkness within him. And then he began to just be paralyzed. And the lady said, can't you move? He said, I'm paralyzed. I can't move. He couldn't move. And then she said, sink. She said, sink into the floor. And he said, no, no. So then when he fell into the hole, he sunk into the floor. It was complete darkness. And I'm telling y'all, I watched that video so many times. It did something to me because it made me realize how I had, the depth I had sunk to in sin. I had reached a place and he was falling through the, he was falling and just falling. And it was called the sunken place. So he was in this place where it was just him. Him and complete darkness. Complete darkness. And then when you look up on Wikipedia, what is the sunken place? It used the definition. He was conscious, but he was powerless.
Yeah, true.
See, in a sunken place, you can be conscious,
right,
but you're powerless.
Right.
See, that's what happened when you're in sin. You're conscious of what you're doing, but you're powerless.
Right.
You're powerless in sin. So he's falling, and he's looking up to him, and he's in complete darkness. And that's how I was. And that's how many of you are. I was in complete darkness. I was immersed in a world that I had never thought I could be. And no matter how he wanted to, he just kept falling. He kept falling. And I watched that video and I was like, oh my God. It was really about to the point where I bring tears in my eyes because that was a deep sin scene right there. Just to think that I was in sin falling like that. I was out of control. Who's to say where I would be right now if I hadn't came out of sin? If I had not accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior? Where, how deep would I have been? Because you can't rise in sin. You can't rise in sin. You can't be more than a conqueror. You can't overcome sin on your own. Just like Paul said, when you try to do right, you couldn't do right. Because sin was always present. You don't have to, I don't care what people say about willpower to a certain degree. With natural things, that's fine. But willpower cannot put sin and the flesh in subjection. It can't do it. And I don't care how many times I try. You say, I'm not going to drink no more. Because I got to the point, I'm drunk, I'm all on the floor by myself, throwing up everything. You can't, I said, I'm not going to do this anymore. Yeah, still, sin was ever present, and I did it again. Because willpower's not going to get me out of that sunken place. Sin is not going to, the willpower can't get me out of the sunken place. It's impossible. That's why people have a problem accepting Christ, because they want, as autonomy, they want to do it on their own power and their own will. But you have the gift of the Holy Ghost to come out of that sunken place. To come out of that sunken place, you got to have the Holy Ghost. Because you want to eternally keep falling. Keep falling. So if you would, I'm going to read this. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Remember, the sunken place, you're conscious, but you're powerless. I read the scripture, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 13, verse. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, many times we take this scripture, and this for us as Christians, we take this because the temptation, we can look at it as a test. We can look at it as a trial, or we can look at it as he's not giving a sin coming for you that you don't have a way of escape. But I want to read this one part right here. And with the temptation also make a way to escape. Sin is a temptation to get out of that sunken place and to escape sin. There is a way out. Know what that way is? Jesus Christ. So you can take that scripture right there and say, I have provided you a way to escape sin. See, that scripture is just not for us Christians, but sinners, people that have not accepted Christ, remember, there is a way to come out of your sin. There's a way to come out of your sin. You can't do it, but God, he said, I have provided a way for escape. You don't have to live in sin with your towels constantly spinning in the mud, not moving forward in life. God will empower you with the Holy Ghost where you can get out of that sunken place, where you can move forward in life, so you can live a better life, because it's always better over here than it is over there. It's always better here. And see, that's what we have to remember. There is an escape. That, I mean, and God provides a way out of the sunken place. He provides a way out of there. So if you would turn your Bible to Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. And we know it. We know it. We're going to start at the third verse. So how, what is our escape? He is despised. Talking about Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised. And we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Amen.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. So what is this telling? What is our way of escape? How do we escape out of temptation? How do we escape our sin? Right here. We turn to Jesus Christ. He is our escape. It says he was despised. He was rejected. He was a man of sorrow. Jesus went through so much for us when we didn't deserve it. No one can display love like Jesus. That is the greatest love possible. No one, I don't care how I love my wife, I can't love her more than Jesus. There is no way. There's only so far I can go. But Jesus, he took all the burdens and the griefs and the sins of the entire world. The entire world. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow. See, when you're in that sunken place, when you're in that sunken place and you immerse in sin and you can't deal with the stress of life, and you can't deal with despair and anxiety, and you can't deal with depression, what does it say right here? He says he had borne our grief and carried our sorrow. That is our escape. That is our escape away from sorrow. That is our way out. That is how we can get away from the burdens and the trials and tribulations of life. That's how you get out of sin. You turn to him. You turn to him. Don't let Jesus Christ death be in vain for you. It's not going to be in vain for me because I step to him as my personal Savior. Don't let the death of Jesus Christ be in vain in your life, in each one of y'all life, because he provided a way where you, there is a better life for you. There is so many blessings that he wants to pour into your life. He wants to pour blessings into your life. And I'm not talking about just material things. But see, he wants to pour salvation into your life. He wants to pour joy into your life. Because when I was in that sunken place, I enjoyed the sin that I was in. I enjoyed it, but that sin was eating away from me. It was eating at me. It was a cancer. And it was eating me from the inside out. That's why when you look on people, you can tell, a lot of times you can tell what kind of sin they in, because it's taking over the mind, it's taking over the heart, it's eating on the inside of them, and now you can see the physical displays of what sin do to you. See, that's why God wants to come into your life. He'll make you, give you a new mind, a new heart, a new life. He wants to take you out of that sunken place. He provided a way out. And what was the way? He hung his hands on the cross. They pierced him in his side. They pierced him in his hand. He was beaten. He was bruised for what? Our sin. For our sin. Jesus didn't do no wrong. He didn't talk bad. The Bible says he spoke no guile. But yet and still, I mean, how many of us, knowing that we didn't do anything wrong, could take all of this? Now remember, you are God in the flesh, and at any given time, you can say, I can stop this madness right now. I ain't got to take this. I am the Son of God. I'm about to end this. I'm the be all and end all. And I'm about to speak it, and that's going to be it. Jesus could have easily done it. He could have easily done it, but he didn't. It was his love for us that kept him on the cross. It was his love for us that kept us on the cross. Many of us, if we was in that place, oh, we got to teach. I'm going to teach him a lesson this day. But see, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't do that. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes, we are healed. Now, when we talk about healing, let's step away from the physical part of it. So we say this. But greater than that, Jesus healed us spiritually. That's what he did. He healed us spiritually because we were beaten. We were bruised. I know I was. It was many times I was just like that guy. I was sitting there and I was crying. I was overtaken with despair and I didn't know what to do. I was taught what to do, but I didn't want to let go of what I was holding on to. And that go back to what the Sunday school lesson. It talked about let it go.
Let it go.
See, a lot of times people don't want to let go of that stuff they have. They think this is all that life is all about. But I'm telling you, there's nothing good in the second place.
No.
There's nothing good when you in sin like that.
No.
Nothing. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, there is a penalty for your sin. There's a penalty. See, God has given us a way to escape it. He's given you a way to escape it. But it's up to us whether we want to get out of our sin. How do we get out? These scriptures right here. Get out. Only through Jesus Christ can you get out of the sunken place. Only one way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. I don't care what Buddhists and Muslims or no one else says. Jesus Christ is the only way. I can't do it for you. Your neighbor can't do it for you. No other religion can't do it because no, it's not about religion. It's about having the Holy Ghost. We're not up here preaching religion. We're talking about having a power within that's going to have you to live right. That's going to have you to walk right. And just like in that Sunday school lesson, all those listen, sin, fornication, uncleanliness, idolatry, covenant, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, all those listen, sin of the Sunday school, God will give you a power where you don't have to live in that. Because believe it or not, that's the sunken place. That's the sunken place too. Whenever you in sin, I don't care if you just falling through the floor, you in the sunken place, you in sin. And there's only one way out, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the procuration of our sin. That's 1 John 2 and 2. He's the procuration. He's the one that died for us. And that's why we shouldn't take it lightly. And I have said it before so many times when we explain it, Jesus on the cross, we're sometimes too passe about it. Sometimes we're too casual about it. Sometimes we're too passive about it. And we just telling a story. But you have to make sure that you got to submerge yourself in there. Sometimes you have to visualize yourself up there on the cross, one of those thieves up there, looking out to the people and seeing what the Jesus is doing for people. Because one of the thieves accepted and one didn't. We had the opportunity, they looked and they've seen the same people that was out saying, crucify him, crucify him. But one that guy, I would like to think the one that accepted Jesus Christ, he had to see. He knew that was the love of God. Because he knew no one else could do what this man is doing. This man said this. No one else would do this. He didn't do anything wrong with this man on the cross. Me and this other scoundrel over here, we need to be up there. We are thieves. We deserve to die. But this man on the cross, look what they did to him. He didn't do no wrong. And he accepted Jesus Christ that day. Right then. So sometimes when you come to church, not sometimes, every time you come to church and you're in your sin, you're in that sunken place, that is the point of time to accept. You got to be like the man on the cross, that thief on the cross. You want to hear, Jesus told him that day you were going to be with me in paradise. He accepted Jesus right then. When you hear the word of God, that is the time to accept Jesus. Not next week. Not tomorrow. Not the day after. Because I remember when I was in Sandersville, I got down on my knees. I said, and I told before, I didn't wait until Friday night to come get saved.
Amen.
I didn't wait to him.
Amen.
I got and I cried out to the Lord right then.
Yes.
But know you not that my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
So when, if I'm the temple, there's an altar in me. So I got down on the floor right then. I didn't wait till I got to the wooden altar. I got down on the Lord on my knees. I cried out to the Lord and I presented my body a living sacrifice. And I said, Lord, I'm giving you my body. For you to pour your spirit and your blessings within me. Because I don't want to live like this no more. I don't want to live like this no more. I said to myself, there has to be more to life than this. I said, it has to be. The same cycle of drinking and clubbing every week. I work in 2 full-time jobs. I said, it got to be more than this. This can't be. I was on a merry-go-round of sin. I said, this is nothing. I'm looking at all my friends, and I'm just looking. I'm like, this just, it just didn't, see, it began to rest. I didn't want to be in this place no more. See, you got to rest, it got to rest in your mind, and I don't want to be in this place no more. I don't want to live like this no more. You got to, there got to be something on the inside of you for real. Talk is cheap, land costs money. You got to, if you want to be saved, you can be saved, but you got to want to be saved. I can't give the Lord half of me and expect him to do the work. I can't do it. I got to give him all of me. I got to submit to his will. Because remember, just like Jesus, the last message was designed to do God's will. So if you're designed to do God's will, that means you got to submit to Jesus Christ. You got to submit to God. And even Jesus, when he came, he said, I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do the will of my Father that sent me. So it's not about us. You want God to bless and restore your life? You want restoration in your life? You got to take the route that the Lord has given you. Jesus died on the cross. That is your way of escape. Jesus is the preparation of our sins. And if you would, turn in your Bible to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, and the 5th verse. Which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer.
Amen.
Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power.
Amen.
See, If we decide not to escape from sin, if we decide to stay in that sunken place, God has to pay you for your sin.
That's it.
Amen.
The Bible says, for the wage of sin is death. Yeah. I'm going to stop right there. Because he's going to pay you for your sin.
Yes,
right here it says, verse 6, sin is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. And in flame of fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God.
Amen.
Who are the people that know not God? People that still in that sunken place.
Amen.
People that still in sin.
Amen.
And it says, a God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting destruction. So when that guy, he was falling in that sunken place, and he was just falling and falling and falling, he looked up and the lady was up in the square and she was talking to him and he was talking to her. And he was looking up and he could still see out, see her. But he was still falling in despair.
Right.
See, when you die and go to hell, it says right here, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. Think about it. If you die in your sins, you're going to be forever falling in a real hell.
Amen.
It ain't gonna be no moving.
Amen.
All right, now see, not a certain place is not within you. Not a certain place is hell. That's the reality of it all. Now you're in a place where eternal damnation, where there will be no coming back. There will be no do-overs. And just like how he was falling, he was able to see. When you in hell, you can be able to see heaven. That's gonna be eternal. That's gonna be eternal. It's gonna be eternal torment to see the life and the blessing that you could have received.
Amen.
But you decided to be selfish.
Amen.
You wanna be selfish. You wanna take the death of Jesus Christ in vain. You want to embrace yourself or immerse yourself in the cares of this life. So now Jesus has to pay you. He said it right here in his word. He had to pay you, recompense. Now he got to pay you. Now the penalty is everlasting destruction.
That's it.
Now you in eternal damnation. Fire and brimstone falling for real in a sudden place.
Amen.
Now there's no get out here. See, we read the scripture before. When you was on earth, he provided an escape. And the escape was through Jesus Christ. But then when you stand before God and he's standing in judgment, he say, depart from me. There is no get out there.
That is
the end. Once he casts you in eternal damnation, it is over with. And you will forever live in eternal fire. You will forever be fallen. You will forever be able to see the blessings of everybody in heaven. But the torment of it all. When they talk about the worm in the scripture, that's the conscience. That's your conscience going to forever be eating away at you. Forever and ever. And it'll be never ending. But all the while, you had a chance. You had a chance to escape that. You had a chance to escape the temptations and the cares and the sin of this world. But you chose not to do it. Because God has provided escape from hell. Escape from hell is offered to everyone.
Yes, it is.
The escape from hell is offered to everyone.
Yes.
And that escape is the death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's his salvation. It's our way of escape. And I'm so glad that I decided to break the bondage of sin. I decided to turn my life over to Jesus Christ for him to break the chain. Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. He broke the chain of that despair and that loneliness and that depression that I was living in. All those things that I was doing in the world. He gave me the victory over that. He gave me victory over that. And now I see all the while I was growing up, now I have a full understanding of what my parents tried, what they instilled in me. Now I had a better understanding. I understand what the word of God is all about.
Amen.
And now I understand how better. I look at my life now and I'm in amazement. And it's not about what you have. But it's just how God allowed me to get out.
Yeah.
He allowed me to get out of that starting place. And I will be forever grateful for that. Because if we don't have to live in sin, we don't have to live in sin. I don't have to feel that hurt no more.
No.
You don't have to be hurt anymore.
No.
The scripture says he died to bring for you to bring you his sorrow, bring your sorrows to him.
Yes.
You don't have to live that way.
Amen.
And I thank God day in and day out that when I wake up in the morning, if God decide to take that last breath from me, I don't have to worry about eternal damnation.
Amen.
Because whether I gain the whole world or gain all of the it doesn't mean anything. Because I gained the greatest gift of them all, and that was salvation. And because I received that gift of salvation, now I get to stay with God in heaven. I get to walk and talk with Jesus Christ. I get to walk among the angels. I get to talk to saints of past. I get to talk to people that died and was martyred for the word of God.
Amen.
People that gave their life to him. There ain't going to be no half-hearted Christians in heaven.
No.
It's going to be all or nothing.
That's
so that's why it's important now that while you have a place where you need to get out of that other place, now is the time.
Yeah.
This is the place.
Yeah.
Don't put it off today for tomorrow what you can do today.
Yeah.
Give your life to him.
Yeah.
And I got to remind, if we are saints, And we don't own when we don't have it just right. The whole thing just for saving people that are not saved. It's for us to get it right too. It's for us to get it right too. That's the word of God for everybody. And I'm going to tell you, I'll never forget that illustration Pastor Tony Evans said. We have a problem with roaches. We all hate roaches, right? Whether big roaches or small roaches. We don't want no roaches in our house, do we? God don't want no sin. There ain't no big sin, small sin. We don't want no sin in your life. None. It ain't gonna be no big ones and no small ones. So that's what we have to remember. Give our life to Christ. Come out of the sunken place. Get out while you have the opportunity. Get out while you have the opportunity. Get out while you have the opportunity. Because I pray for my kids all the time. I pray for my kids all the time, and I desire them to be saved. And I was telling my guys at work one time, and this may seem harsh, and I don't even know if I said it here one time before, but one time I had a talk with Zimmy, and I was talking to her, and I was explaining to her about hell. I had preached about it one time before. And I told her, I said, Zimmy, if you die in your sin, that would hurt me. To know that you have gone to hell. I mean hell. If you die in your sin, it will hurt for me. Hurt me to know that you've gone to hell. It will hurt. God Almighty. That would hurt. I would have to lean and depend on the Lord. And I would tell her, you know, just going down that path and just talking to her about the importance of being saved. And I say, well, Zim, if you die in your sin, I would hurt. But the thing about it is that when I die and I go to heaven, I can't put no plan in this. I'm not going to remember you anymore.
That's it.
See, God's going to wipe away any, and let me tell you something, all that remembrance of your past, the people in your life, God has to wipe that clean, because there will be no sorrow and no weeping and no tears, none that is in heaven, so he has to wipe it clean. So I let her know, yeah, it may hurt me now, but when I die and I go to heaven, I can't put no plan in, I'm not going to remember you anyway. I'm not. And that's the stark reality of it all. But I mean, we love our loved ones now, and that's why we try so hard, so desperate to tell them the truth. That's why we go at it with everything in you. You got to stay focused, because it's about the saving of souls. And we don't want our loved ones to die and go to hell. We don't want our family and friends to die and go to hell, because once you go to hell, there's no way out. There's no way. I can't stress to you that there is no do-over. So you can't be passive about telling. People can't shy away from teaching about hell. Because that's the end result. That's the end result. You can't start with just God is love. But God has loved you so much that you have to tell him he loves you so much. He got to send you to hell. He got to. He got to. So that's why we have to be so adamant about. We have to be so intentional about when we talk to people and stop right at hell. Because the ways of sin. You got to cross that line. You got to cross that line, sir. You got to cross the line. You got to say, look, who said that? Somebody preached to me. They don't want to preach against sin. Well, the penalty of sin is hell. The love of God is
eternal.
I mean, because he got to be saying, I'm recompensing. So he has to. That's the penalty of it all.
Amen.
So when somebody committed a crime, they have to stand before a judge. The judge passed judgment on, and the penalty of their crime is 20 years in prison.
Yeah.
They can't go in the courtroom and not know. When they go in there, the Lord explains to them, look, you're facing 20 years. So when he go to court, you already know what you're facing.
Right.
So when you don't accept Christ, you already know what you're facing.
Right.
And that's our job.
Yeah.
To help people and let them know, let me tell you what your penalty of sin is.
Right.
Let me tell you what you're facing.
Right.
So you don't be misled and you don't be blind.
Yeah.
Your sin,
yes,
will your sin will send you to hell.
Amen.
So let's just make sure. I would just implore anyone that has not accepted Christ, today is the day.
Yeah.
Today is the day. To give your heart,
yes,
to Jesus.
Amen.
Yes. To God be the glory.
Amen.
You're gonna need somebody. Going over.